Now let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty. Plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Changed at home. Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fought.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 3rd of May. In the year 2005, we've had a beautiful day here, and I hope you've had a lovely day too, folks. And I am glad that you've joined us. I'll begin here with our spiritual message. I didn't do this last Wednesday. This is from James 1, verse, chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why? The reason I do this, when I share these with you, it's because they're meaningful for me. Alan, you know what I'm saying? Alan, are you there? Oh, my. Oh, folks, hold on a minute. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, my gosh. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think
we're on.
We are on.
Okay.
Except you weren't on because I didn't get you back in.
Oh.
So here's Alan Watt with us, folks. What I was sharing the spiritual message. Can you thank me for trusting you with this experience, even if I never tell you why? That's from James 1, verses 2 and 4. And I told our listeners that I share these that are meaningful for me. Maybe it's for me that I do it, but... you know, it's like this wrist of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm not a Buddhist. However, I am, to me, when something happens, there is a reason. We don't always know what it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes we find out and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, the message there is stop practicing karate.
This wasn't karate, as you well know.
Yeah.
My precious little Molly swept me off my feet, didn't she, Alan? Well, anyway, thank you for being here with us this evening. And, folks, thank you for being here. I'm glad that you are. Alan, we were talking last night, and I said, oh, we better quit this because we're doing a broadcast right now. Because you were talking about things, and, of course, as usual, I have my dozens of questions. And what we were talking about, you've been on a lot of different radio broadcasts now, and from what I understand, you've been pretty much zeroing in on the secret societies, specifically, well, Freemasonry, but all the secret societies, and we got talking about that. And I wanted us, we talked about bringing it up tonight, the relevance.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see how politics has gone in the last 50 years or so, where they're always talking about divisions between government and religion and how that's been pushed to the forefront, then when you look at who's pushing this division to keep them separate,
it's a religion.
You find that you have people belonging to a thousand organizations which are simply other branches of Freemasonry under many names.
Uh-huh.
And Albert Pike tells you right there in his own book, the Pope of Freemasonry, Freemasonry is a religion.
Yeah.
And you'll find pretty well all your government officials, right down to the local level, and the people on the school boards, and even the people who count your votes, are members of these organizations. And we seem to take it for granted and never inquire, how come, who are these organizations, who's behind them, who connects them all together, where did they get their instructions for, because they do all belong to the same head at the top, in this pyramid fashion.
You know what?
Yeah.
In the book Jewish Persecution, when I got into the Freemasonry, and that was around chapter, 15, 16, and there's some of the initiations, you know, they're different levels. It's very Talmudic, Alan.
Oh, it's pre-Talmudic.
Well, okay, yeah, maybe the Talmud is a takeoff on another religion.
In fact,
it's Talmudic according to what I know
Albert
of the Talmud.
Albert Pike himself stated that they could have used, rather than use the Old Testament, they could have used the knowledge of Nimrod and based all their foundations on that, because the Old Testament is simply a tool they used when they updated Freemasonry around the 1700s. So he said himself that he could have used Nimrod and based it on Nimrod.
Uh-huh.
and the legends of
Nimrod. Was Nimrod from Babylon?
Yeah, well, that area, but it's more thousands and thousands of years ago.
Well, are you saying then that Talmudism didn't begin in, whenever they say that it did?
Oh, I'm pretty certain.
But in other words, first we've got the first five books of the Old Testament, which they refer to as the Torah, although from some of their websites they say that the entire Old Testament is. Mostly I understand that the first five books of the Old Testament is the Torah, and then the Talmud is based and you know, gnashing its sleeve, so to speak, from there. So,
not really. There's two Talmuds. There's the Babylonian Talmud, and then there's a later Jewish one that was an updated version that continued on from there. And even, it's nothing to do with really the old text. You see, all religions, and I don't care whose religion it is, even if you're Buddhist, are run by the same people at the top.
I know. The reason I said that.
Yeah.
Because when Nicole was working,
uh-huh.
She asked me one day, what's a Buddhist? I said, well, I don't know that much about Buddhism. Mm. She said, people at work keep telling me I'm a Buddhist.
Uh-huh.
Because if something happened, Nicole would say, well, there's a reason for this. And that's why I said that, Alan.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I just looked recently at some famous guru that's coming to New York as a Buddhist. And there's a big ad in a magazine. And the temple in New York that he's coming to has a whole bunch of kneeling mats laid out in the form of the chessboard.
Oh, wow.
The floor. And then just to the near the altar at the front is another, the actual tile itself is a Masonic tesserated floor. And then his little, the logo they have there is the double tetrahedron. The as above, so below, the diamond shape. And it's in blue different segments. And in the middle, that's for the Blue Lodge, you see. And then in the middle, they've got a white and another one, a gold, number 6, which is also the letter G for the usual stuff, geometry, God, etc., up to gold, you know, and graft. And it also stands, if you look further back from it, you've got a hidden swastika in there, which is pretty typical. So these societies are all run by the same people as well.
You know, Alan, a lot of these symbols, they are so ancient.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't mean the symbols themselves are evil.
All these symbols are symbols of the same ancient society behind all societies. They've used them for at least many thousands of years.
And I have a sense that there is, within their, quote, religion, there is also truth.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of truth, and it's based on the law of nature.
Yeah.
And they always tell us that, so it's their right to dominate the lesser. And that basically is the system that we live in. It's all centered around that very thing. We're taught at school to run fast in races and to get the best marks, and you go on in life as the ones below you get the dreary jobs. In fact, job comes from job in the Bible.
Job.
Get a job at the bottom level. And of course, if you play with the sun, you got higher. You get a salary. You see. So that's.
Wait, say that again.
If you go higher and you get
a pie.
Yeah.
And what's that got to do with salary?
Well, salary is foul. It's a play.
But what's that got to do with pie?
What?
When you say pie.
Up high.
Oh, up high.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, up high.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the lower guys get a job, and that's from the Bible. And Job, of course, was cursed and cursed and cursed. And the old story was that God gave him boils and everything and plagued him. And even sent Satan down, because at that time Satan worked for God, you'll notice, and made the life of Job a misery.
Are we talking Job, the one that we pronounce?
Yeah, Job is Job. That's where Job comes from.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where a job comes from. And if you're at the bottom of the totem pole because you can't compete or whatever, then you get a job. You know
something, though? A job. I mean, because of the monetary system. There are people who have jobs and who take pride in their work.
Oh, yeah.
And they do their work well. Unknowing, you know, of all the stuff we're talking about, I was thinking, when I was in high school, typing, you know how certain things, something somebody says, something you read and it just sticks with you forever. And it says that there is no job that is too menial. In other words, if we had a job as a janitor and we did a damn, excuse my slang there, a good job and took pride in it and looked at it and felt complete with what we were doing, that's beyond what them.
It's
the individual,
the
integrity and the honor and all of that within the individual. There's nothing that can take that away from a person. They can only give it away.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is, though, that the system that we live in is based on the law of nature, which is not really a humane law. It's an occultic religion that runs this whole thing, and from school onwards, you keep competing, even in racing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, I used to win all the things at sports, from javelin to running and sprinting and all the rest of it. And I can remember one time I'd won everything I was supposed to win. And he said, well, you won last race, you could, and all the rest of it. I said, well, I don't want to run, you know. He says, why? I said, I don't need to. And he sort of looked stunned as the teacher, you know.
In other words, you weren't interested in taking, quote, all the prizes.
Well, yeah.
You had nothing to prove.
I thought, well, why are people cheering you on? Because you're born with a particular type of muscle that makes you faster and a bit stronger than other people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you didn't work for it. You just were born like that. And our whole system, from that, from competing, even in sport, to education, to everything in life, it is actually going towards the creation of the great work, as they call it, which is the new man. The new man to
come. So what is one to do, Alan?
You have to understand what it's all about to start with.
Okay.
Now you take.
So don't do sports in school. In other words.
Well, don't think it's so necessary for you to you know, be faster or stronger.
Right, right. In other words, don't feel like a failure because you're not on top of the heap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a person who does their very best, that's the greatest thing you can do.
Well, I mean, and it's supposed to be a fun thing, but it's not as taken seriously because really it is serious. It's a training for everybody in the world. The whole world has been standardized into the same system. And you'll find that they're going towards a new type of creation. And you'll see it primarily in sports because they're all taking steroids, even in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we know that they're turning a blind eye now because they're getting the public to accept it. The true engineering.
Gee, some of the women, they look like men.
Yeah, so through re-engineering, we shall create a new type of creature. Well, you take the whole New Age philosophy that they're pushing out there right now, that something wonderful is going to happen because we're coming into this, we're in a new age and of a new type of human and all this kind of stuff. It's all tied in together because there's a religion driving.
Well, here we all are, Alan.
Yeah.
Here we all are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And
most people don't know.
Yes.
They don't know it's a system.
Yeah, I know, but...
and it's like Lenin. I mean, Lenin, who was really trained by the best bankers on the planet, stated that the public must never realize that the humankind can go off in 1,000 different directions. They must think that the system they're born into simply evolved and is the natural one to be in. And that's why people never question the system. They think it's all evolved this way naturally. They don't realize it's being guided very carefully with a lot of planning for where we are and for where we're going.
When I was married to Nick Patru, I worked. I mean, I worked before I met him. I worked after we were married. But finally I said, I'm done. I want to stay home and be with my children and just be a mom and a wife. Well, of course, we wound up divorced, but we went to marriage counseling.
Uh-huh.
And this guy sat there, his name was Zacher, by the way, and he saw us separately because it just wasn't working us being there together, but he said, I think your husband is upset because you're not working. I said, well, I think that it's important for him to know that he can do it without me. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't understand you. A woman with your intelligence, why aren't you out there competing in the business world? I said, Dr. Zacher, I don't have anything to prove. I don't have anything to prove to anybody else or myself.
Yeah.
I just want to be a mom and a wife.
Yeah.
But that's what he was leading me to. I see what you're saying. And women who were moms and wives began to feel... inferior. One of our neighbors said it. Well, we used to walk in the morning, and that's what she was. And she saw her son off to school in the morning. She got his breakfast. She packed her husband's lunch when he went to work, and she was complaining. And I wanted so much not to be in the workplace. I would have loved to have been in her place. And I said, Sandy, don't let them do this to you. What you're doing is the most important thing in the world that you can do.
Yeah.
Is to raise your boy, be there when he leaves for school, be there when he comes home, and nurture your husband. I mean, women need nurturing too. I'm not saying being, you know, some little slave or something, but I heard her feeling inadequate, Alan, because all she was a wife and a mother.
Yeah, and that's been pushed so strongly through movies and magazines, and then they create a peer pressure. And because they said many, many years ago they had to destroy the family unit in order for the state to be supreme over every individual.
Yeah, well, she went to work part-time, and then it became full-time, and they wound up divorced.
Yeah, that's pretty.
She wound up, you know, meeting somebody else, and the grass was greener, and...
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
It's a system, and back in even the 1800s, they were starting that trend, and it all came from the top, authorized by chartered agencies in England to begin that push towards the dissolution of the family. I don't think people realize that in the late 1800s, they were actually pushing what they called free love. And some of the biggest authors of the day were pushing that, all connected with Professor Huxley in London. He taught at some of the biggest schools, including, I think, Eton. And he recruited certain authors to write under him, and they were pushing, like, including H.G. Wells. He was one of his students. And he ended up pushing free love as early as the late 1800s, and that was intended to, as I say, destroy the family, because they knew that the earlier they could get children acting up sexually, the less chance there was of them mating up for life. So that was the plan, because the state cannot be supreme as long as there is any semblance of the family unit. It has to be totally dominant over every individual. The family, in fact, is the smallest type of remnant of a tribe, and they tend to stand up for each other.
Yes, yes. So here we are, all of us, in this system.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe there's a way to be in this world but not of this world.
Well,
I mean,
think people at least have to start a ripple. And many, we're up against something that's thousands of years old in the continuous ongoing planning stages.
Maybe it's more than thousands.
It's very possible. It could be millions for all we know. And I think personally it is. But
I think it's almost been from the get-go, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I say, from what they give us is the birth of civilization, and that's their term for their system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a ripple. It's been on the go so long that you start off a snowball with a small flake, which you start rolling, and that's what you're up against. And people have to stop using traditional tools to try and figure out what's happening here. There's no point complaining about politics. That's just the show. That's the middleman, the political politician. You have to start to demand, since you are putting people, even in local levels, in positions of power over you, and you are going to pay them to do it, then you must demand to know what organizations that they have sworn allegiance to.
I know, but you know the pathetic thing about that today?
Yeah.
Sorry to say. Even here in Tioga County, it's a huge area. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said that Tioga County, the square, you know, miles, is actually bigger than the state of Maine.
Yep.
There's about 40,000 people here. They've got electronic voting machines now, Alan.
Yeah.
Well, we're not putting anybody in office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But at least what you're talking about is those who are running for office, that they should be questioned.
Well, those who are already in office, I mean, let's be honest, they're supposed to be, we know it's a con, but they're supposed to be public servants. They're taking money from the public, and they're supposed to serve the public, so therefore their life should be an open book when it comes to the organizations which they have sworn allegiance to and sworn oaths to. And people who are adults take these oaths tremendously seriously. And these oaths override any later oaths they take to the public. In these organizations, loosely called Freemasonry, and as I said, there's about 1,000 different names, the 1,000 faces of ISIS. ISIS being the church, that's the symbol, that's the esoteric meaning behind ISIS. And the body of Osiris that was scattered is are the members of the Masonic people who join them.
I think when you talk about ISIS,
yeah,
I think of ISIS, Ra, and El.
Mm-hmm.
Is Ra El?
But that's not what I'm saying, Jackie. What I'm saying is it's and El was not a Jewish god, by the way. It was a Semitic God because there was many Semitic people, but it wasn't a Jewish one. It didn't come into it till much later. The Al version is the Arabic version. That's why you have Allah.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Jews just now.
Yeah, but that's why you have Allah. And it doesn't mean what most folks think it means. It's a hermaphroditic term. It's the religious term, which is a whole different thing from standard religions. It's the religion behind the religion. And as I say, as Isis is not a person, never was a person, neither was Osiris.
So in other words, Talmudism is just a cover Jew, the same as Christianity. It's a cover.
Everything which is authorized is a tool. It's a tool. Every religion which has been authorized is a tool towards an end which the followers don't understand.
Towards what?
Which the followers don't understand.
No, you said towards something.
Yeah.
Towards.
It's the Greek
an
word.
An end. Oh, you said an end.
Yeah.
Towards an end, yeah.
So you have all these different people and all the religions, which, let's be honest, all authorized religions, number one, is to create a type of order in a society. To make the society obedient to those who rule that particular society. And that goes for every major religion. And even the New Age, even though it doesn't think, it's been taught that it's free and it's easy and it's open, is nothing of the kind. Because the New Age was really started to roll off with the French Revolution, actually with the American Revolution. Then the French decided bringing out all the symbols then of the real guys behind the show. And then right up to the present day, the Wiccanism and all the rest of it with their simple 3 degrees at the bottom. It's all from the same Masonry that runs the whole show.
I've got a book here on Freemasonry. I don't remember who wrote it. I've been looking for it. It's on my shelf someplace. Because what I noticed, I mean, at least by this particular author, there were so many break-offs and so many different... there's, like you said, every single secret society is part of the same thing.
Same thing, same head, yeah.
But when I got towards the end of the book, it got into New Age,
yeah.
And I remember making a note, a bracket, and said, they invented New Age religion.
Yeah.
Because you could see it the way this thing was written.
Mm-hmm. It was boasted about in the main publication of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry's journal back in the 50s, that the name of the journal was called The New Age. And they boasted about bringing in the New Age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
And with all of the old stuff, that you know, the horoscopes and the tarot cards and all the symbology and so on, which again is to make a form of predestination. When you can convince a whole people, just like religion has done, Christianity did a great job on the public in the same way. And you can convince lots and lots of people there's nothing they can do because it's all preordained, then they sit back and let things happen. That's the purpose of...
Well, you know, I had an astrological chart done one time.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break here in about 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to mention this because this is the confusion for me, Alan. The woman that did the chart,
yeah,
didn't know me from Adam.
Yeah, I know these stories. I know exactly.
I don't care.
I know what you say. Yeah.
You tell me when we're back from the break,
yeah,
what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things this person said is this isn't to be used to run your life by. It shows you what, well, we're running out of seconds here. So when we come back, you tell me what I was going to say, okay? Okay, well, folks, We do have to talk about, though, Alan, what you, what we talked about last night.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, Alan.
Yes.
Tell me what I was going to say.
Yeah, the generally at your charts with many years ahead and all the rest of it, and they'll give you a basic guideline as to the things you could aspire to.
No.
And then they'll tell you it's not the way you necessarily have to go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
No, this was what was called a natal chart. It wasn't a progression.
Yeah.
I was about 30 years old, and when I met her, somebody said, she's an astrologer. And I said, oh, I've always, you know, been interested in that or curious. Would you do a chart on me? The woman knew me. No, she didn't know me. But when she came back and was explaining this natal astrological chart, Alan, she said things that I am and that I was without knowing me at all, based on this astrological chart. And one of the things she said, this was interesting to me because I used to have what they call stage fright. I went to a fairly small high school, and I knew everybody, almost everybody there. Actually, at that time, it was from 7th grade up to the 12th. And every time I had to get up in front of the class, I took speech class, I got the jitters. I got the butterflies. I had stage fright. And yet, I could, I was in the lead in the play. I played sports. But standing up and talking to a group of people made my stomach literally flip. Every single one of them in a small class, I knew them. Well, she said, I see you talking to large groups of people. And as soon as she even said it, my stomach started to flip. Because when she said it, you know, I think in pictures. I saw myself standing at a podium in front of a group of a bunch of people. I said, I don't think so, Sheila. She said, it has nothing to do with what you're doing now. And I thought about that later. I was on the air for 10 years, Alan, and shortwave for most of that 10 years, talking to large groups of people. She also told me I felt like a misfit. And I always felt like a misfit, Alan. And she said, but it isn't you. It's them. I said, oh, in other words, I'm not crazy, the rest of the world is. She said, in a sense, you could say that. And she told me so many things based on the astrological chart that nobody could have said to me that hit me more deeply. She didn't tell me how I was going to live my life. And she also told me that I was here to serve humanity. Well, that's about all I've been doing all my life when you think about it, Alan. I mean, I was in...
Yeah, I know, but there are true believers and there are ones who are not.
There's what?
There's true believers, really, that's the bottom line.
I don't know what you mean by that.
There's people who are true believers in it and there's ones who are not, you know. There are those who are true believers.
What are you saying, though? I'm a true believer?
It seems to be.
Well, was that coincidence, what this woman said?
I can't say without knowing it all or seeing it
right,
all.
Right.
But personally, the stars, I mean, let's be honest, who drew up all those patterns in the sky? Because it looks nothing like what they're supposed to look like.
You know, in the Old Testament, it says not to go to, what does it say?
Astrologers.
Yeah, right. Well, is that a possibility that, I mean, these creatures that are in control have been ruling and running their plan by this, the...
Well, they use it as a time clock more than anything.
Right. But what do they know that we don't know, Alan?
Well, they know that it's the course of the stars. And by that, I mean the time. The ancient ones used to con all the people into creating darkness by knowing when eclipses would happen. They've been studying the stars probably for millions of years.
I know, but that's different than what we're talking about.
Not really, in a sense.
Yes, it is.
What astronomy is, as opposed to astrology. And as I say, when you understand all of the meanings of the characters that they give you in astrology, there's an esoteric meaning behind them. And in fact, if you understand the esoteric meaning behind them, then you understand the plan.
Well,
so it's,
you know, this is a confusion for me, because I know that we've been told so many lies, and I know that so much truth has been hidden from us, and I know that much of the truth is hidden amongst the lies. And I think we need to be careful and discerning. I'm not a, quote, New Ager, although maybe you think I am. I don't know about the New Age movement. I don't know about it. But I know that people have said that I was New Age, you know. I like Stephen Halpern's music. It's beautiful and, well, not anymore. It used to be. But I'm not New Age. Whatever their term of New Age is, but there are ancient truths, Alan, that have been kept from us, and there's a lot more to this physical world than their plan, their system.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I'm trying to deal on what we can deal with, you see, as opposed to that. I think if you can deal or start dealing with what's here now, the rest of it falls into place.
Okay, how do we deal with it?
As I say, we have to start to demand and to expose the system, what's behind the system, and this religion that's behind the system, that policemen and soldiers and everything get. I don't know if you realize that most of them get Masonic burials. Now, they're also your public servants. You're paying them.
Yeah. Well, it's a good old boys' club, isn't it?
It's not just little boys, girls. There's little girls' ones, too. So, and I don't know if there's anything in between. I would be surprised. But they certainly do have many, many branches and organizations all over the world, in every country. When the British troops went into India in the 1700s, they had traveling lodges with them, Masonic lodges. And they were astounded to find that every little village in India also had one. They thought they didn't know they had them there. This was already worldwide. Yeah. There was a very good movie put out with Michael Caine and who was it? The James Bond movies. The older fella. Connery, wasn't it? Connery.
Yeah, Connery. Sean Connery.
Yeah, and it was called The Man Who Would Be King. And many Masons got upset with it. It was written by Rudyard Kipling, in fact, who was a Mason. And the movie showed two travelers going to the north of India to find this priesthood who dealt with the square and the compass. And they used all some of the Masonic terms there that the Masons use amongst themselves, and the Masons were furious when they made a movie out of it. So people should get it. It's worth to see.
And you know another one we were talking about last night?
Oh, From
that
Hell.
You mentioned, From Hell?
Yeah.
Well, I did see the movie.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you? But I didn't catch it the way that you explained it. Would you explain it to our listeners?
Well, it's based on a true story.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. But it also uses what are now the declassified documents from Scotland Yard, the main police for London. And they kept it secret for 100 years that it was Sir John Gall, who was the physician to Queen Victoria, who was the Ripper. They knew who it was because he was been out and killing these women, because they knew that one of the prostitutes had been had given birth to a son, and actually had married secretly a Catholic prostitute, and he was sent out to kill them, and he did it with Masonic rituals.
Everyone that knew her.
Uh huh. And everywhere they left the bodies was a Masonic name, the Mitre Square, and so on. So he tried to blame the Jews by writing it on the wall, but he used the Masonic writing of Jews, which was J-U-W-E-S. He said the Jews will not be blamed for nothing. Well, that's a little Masonic coding in there.
What does that mean?
I could go on for about an hour about what it means.
Well, yeah, but just if you
but,
can.
But the thing is, the point is, in that movie, you will see a part of Masonic ritual with the guy, and these were the upper elite of London, the sirs and the lords in this particular temple, and they reconstruct it, and you'll see how the candidate eventually gets risen up, but he's seeking the light, as they call it, and they're wearing the Masonic regalia. This actually happened. So it's worth seeing that one.
It's worth me seeing it again.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll see it in a whole different light now.
Mm-hmm.
But Alan,
for 100 years, because all the guys in Scotland Yard were Masons.
And this was the surgeon, wasn't it?
He was the top surgeon.
Uh huh. For
he
the
was
Queen.
The top surgeon, yeah.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah. And he surgically removed organs, and each woman had the penal sign committed to her, because when you take an oath in Masonry, you also take an oath to whatever, plus you also take, you're shown your signs and passwords for every degree, but you're also shown a penal sign which you must use.
What's a penal sign?
That's for penalty, for breaking taking the oath. So you know, you cut them across them to the neck, and sometimes the other one is to rip their stomach and their chest.
Oh, yeah.
And throw their entrails over their shoulders.
Yeah.
Well, this guy actually did it to these women. This is a purely Masonic...
To let those brothers know that it was a Masonic murder.
That's right. And that was kept secret by the whole establishment, because all of the establishment is all for Masons. And that's the power of Freemasons.
So what did... I'm sorry, you piqued my interest and my curiosity. The Jews will be blamed for nothing. What did that mean?
It's double negative contained in the whole thing.
Yeah, it is a double negative, isn't
it? And if you look at... It's the three unworthy craftsmen. That's what they mean.
They?
It's the three unworthy craftsmen. And the myth that killed Hiram Abiff. That's what they claim. And it's not a truth. See, this is the problem when you explain things. Most people think of people as soon as you mention names. And they're not people. Just like the old Egyptian gods weren't people either.
Right.
So when you see Hiram Abiff, you think, well, that's a person. You picture it in your mind. You picture him getting murdered with these apprentices who didn't know the upper passwords to get a higher pay and kill them.
And really, it's all symbolic.
It's highly symbolic.
Uh-huh.
Because the three unworthy craftsmen, there's Jubalo, Jubalum, and some other one. But basically, it's really the death to the Knights Templars was so they had to shoot them down as the unworthy craftsmen, which is the church, the state, and the mob, the people. That's what they stand for, really. The church, the state, and the mob. Because these particular...
And they control it all.
High Masons control all of it.
All of it.
And that's what it really means.
Wow.
Yeah. So the three blows that were given to Hiram, and they go through these rituals and their degrees, the supposed blows, is all to do really with their dominance, and actually eventually destruction of what was the old church, the Catholic Church, and then the state, the old royal state, except for Britain, because they were given refuge there. And the mob, the general population, each one is despised by the very high degrees.
That's us, yes?
Yeah.
We're the mob.
Uh-huh.
If we so declare ourselves, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But this is where it gets down to the individual, because you see, rather than believe in anything being ordained, the individual must grab the power that they're born with.
Yeah.
And they must create their destiny, rather than saying, well, it's all laid out for you.
Yes.
That's the difference. When you understand that you can grab that life force within you, and I don't care what you think your connection is with whatever deity you follow.
Or maybe not grab, but connect with, Alan.
Yeah. But you can grab it. You can grab it because it's your right. You know, you're born here. And you have it there. If you want to find it, you'll find it. And you take it and you run with it, because you must create a destiny instead of leaving it to others to do it for you.
Yeah.
If you leave it to others, then you are a slave, and you have never lived. And that was always the esoteric meaning of let the dead bury their dead in the New Testament. It was used long before then, that same saying. And people who go through their whole life never knowing, that's what they say in high masonry. It's as though they were dead, because they truly leave nothing behind them. They altered nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much each individual can do if they just take that power back and stop being slaves to those who know how to control them.
And I know I split hairs with words, but I'm thinking about the spring after Chuck passed over. Looking out the window, and it had been raining forever, and the grass was so tall that you could never mow it, and wet. And I was just saying, Father, please give me strength and give me courage to do this. And suddenly, Alan, and that's why I'm saying connecting with, maybe not grabbing it, but maybe we're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
suddenly occurred to me that everything I need is within me. Mm-hmm. And I have the strength. I have the courage. Mm-hmm. And then I started just saying, thank you. Thank you for giving me the strength and the courage to go on, and please help me to find it and to hold on to it.
Yeah.
That was my asking.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my thought about, well, you said grab, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I said, please let me find it and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew it was there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it, you know, when I was asking for it. We're asking for something we already have. We have
usually
it.
We are,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's insecurity, it's fear of the system. See, this world lives on fear of poverty, loneliness, ill health, sickness, all of these things that this system exploits us all on its back. A person who's successful and called it successful in this system is one who's battled their way to the top over everybody else. And this is called its civilization.
Yeah.
It's the cruelest system you could possibly have. It's anti-human.
When I owned my business, this insurance man came in to see me.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to lay out a plan for me, you know, so I could invest and leave a whole bunch of money to my children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing well, because I was doing well financially at that time, you could, if you allowed it to, you could allow it to control your, you know, your thoughts and get you anxious.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do to, quote, preserve it?
Yeah.
And while we were talking, I said, Roy, you know what? I'm not here, and what I'm doing, you know, in my life's work here,
mm-hmm.
is not to leave my children a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I hope and I pray that what I leave them with is the strength and the inner knowing and to know that they're self-sufficient, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you following my...
Yeah.
That's what occurred to me at that time. The most important thing that we can leave our children is the values and the honor, the respect, the compassion, all that is real in this world, Alan.
Yeah, I know. I know, it's getting connected again, you see. We've been disconnected on purpose over many years in a carefully laid out to separate everyone else from everyone else. And that's divide, conquer, down to the lowest common denominator, till there is nothing to stand beside you, and there's nothing that opposes you except the top. That's all done deliberately. And it was discussed by the big boys in their own books many years ago.
So, okay, so because we're running out of our hour, when we were talking last night, and you were saying, you know, I asked you how the last broadcast you were on went, and what you were saying is that what we alluded to it earlier, that these people who are in public places, public positions of power, that people have to ask them and demand that they give them information on any secret society.
Well, society was secret. In fact, all societies, because you have to.
Anything they took an oath to.
Yeah, because you're giving them power to make rules and laws over you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you said that to me, the first thought I had was, well, what good is that going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really expect that... Because I remember you saying this one time a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Go to their meetings and speak up and ask them, you know, what association...
If enough people do that, if nothing else happens, you start a ripple effect.
Right.
People have never been questioned on the proper thing.
Right. Well, see, That's what you said last night that made sense to me. Because when you said that a long time ago, I thought, yeah, right. We're going to ask a public official, are you a member of the Freemasons or et cetera, and they're going to be honest with us.
Yeah.
And what you explained last night that I thought it was so important that you expanded upon is whether they answer or not, ask.
You're to start, because people have to stop being on the defensive.
Uh-huh.
You got to stop it, you see. And it's their right to demand, since you're giving them a job. And you're also going to pay them to make laws that can that will affect you.
Like Pat Buchanan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's a Knight of Malta,
mm-hmm.
of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this for a fact. And he has taken an oath to the church.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church.
Well,
he was running for president.
It doesn't matter, because it's the same. I don't care what they think at the bottom. The guys at the top all belong to the same capstone. They think they're on different
sides.
Well,
right, exactly.
Bottom.
I understand that.
That's the con game. Yeah.
Yeah, the Catholic Church. It doesn't. What about the lodges, the Moose Lodge, and the, are these all lower extremities of this?
Well, a lot of those lodges, the side lodges, are guys who are Masons, and that's their basically fun place. So they have their main lodge to go to as well.
I see.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it's I'll be doing a further expose in an upcoming video, and people should check the website into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and check out this one I'm up today, this video.
You got it up, Alan?
Yeah, it's called Peeping Through the Clouds.
Peeping Through the Clouds.
Yeah.
Did you get, that was the one you did outside?
Yeah, it's some wind interference.
But you got some of the wind out of it?
Yeah. It's less long-winded. Yeah. Especially you too.
Your dry humor cracks me up.
Well, just to tell the people at the bottom it's free, so don't complain.
All right, well, for our listeners, give your website again and about your books, and we've got about 4 minutes left, so you do that.
Yeah, the three books are on the site. There's also an MP3.
Well, Cutting Through the Matrix, 1,
yeah,
2, and 3.
Yeah, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. There's also
The books.
And the books are Cutting Through 1, 2, and 3 in a series.
Right.
And I'll be doing more of them. And there's also a good connection tonight on that website there of recently, there's an inquiry going on now in Britain because they were spraying cadmium over Norwich, the city of Norwich, back in the 60s. And now they're saying it caused lots of esophageal and lung cancer. Yeah. So that's up on, and that's from the BBC.
CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com.
Yeah.
Folks, I don't know anybody listening hasn't been there, but just in case we have new listeners. And I don't know how you're listening, folks, whether it's on a satellite or from First Amendment Radio, but remember sweetliberty.org. And there's a couple of chapters, well, maybe the book, Jewish Persecution, that you might want to get into. And we'll be back with you Wednesday night. Darren will be back with you Monday and Tuesday. And please do tune in. And Alan, thank you. Thank you. Yes, always. Good night, folks. Thanks for being here.
Who are you? That is the question, and the name of the program. To learn what the question